So I'm going to read from two verses, 33 and 34. 34 is on the board. So Canto 3, chapter 2, text 33. O sober Vidura, King Indra, his honour having been insulted, poured water incessantly on Vrindavan. And thus the inhabitants of Braj, the land of cows, were greatly distressed. But the compassionate Lord Krishna saved them from danger with his pastime umbrella, the Govardhan Hill. Text 34, repeat after me. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. In the third season of the year, the Lord enjoyed as the central beauty of the assembly of women by attracting them with his pleasing songs in an autumn night brightened by moonshine. Purport. Before leaving the land of cows, Vrindavan, the Lord pleased his young girlfriends, the transcendental gopis, in his rasa-lila pastimes. Here Uddhava stopped his description of the Lord's activities. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistang Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapanantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalang Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitang Stang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Binabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanishvare Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanipyo Vaishnavipyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to speak before you, and I request all your blessings that I may say something relevant, something bona fide. Try my best. Uddhava is an interesting character. When we discuss rasa, we have to be careful we don't put it inside preconceived boxes. I'll give you an example. Some devotees think that those who are in Shanta Rasa have no appreciation for Madhurya Rasa, but there is actually a category of Shanta Rasa where the devotees are like, they reflect the mood of whoever they associate with. So if devotees have that rasa, then when they're with gopis, they reflect the mood of the gopis and they can experience conjugal love. When they're with the elderly gopis, the parents of Krishna, they can appreciate and they can reciprocate in Vatsalya, etc., etc. So, Uddhava, he's actually an eternal resident of Dwarka. So one may think, okay, he's in awe and reverence is his main focus, and he would not really appreciate the moods of Vrindavan. One may think that way, but actually one would be very mistaken, because Uddhava experiences, by Krishna's mercy, he gets to experience the certain moods of Vrindavan that are very, very elevated. And it doesn't get any more elevated than Srimati Radharani's mood of separation from Krishna. And Uddhava, he was sent to Vrindavan to serve many purposes. One of the purposes was to pacify the residents of Vrindavan who were feeling deep separation from Krishna. Another reason was to be merciful to Uddhava. He said, Uddhava Bodhisattva, he's the most intelligent. Vrishninam Paravara, he's the greatest of the Vrishnis. Now the Vrishni dynasty, I mean, how great is the Vrishni dynasty? How many Vrishnis are there? It runs into millions. And of those millions of Vrishnis, there is one special personality, Uddhava, who is the advisor to Krishna. Of course, Krishna's Bhagavan, he doesn't need an advisor. But Uddhava, he has that special position. So to show mercy to Uddhava, Krishna sends him to Vrindavan. Because Uddhava, because of his position, he becomes a little bit proud of his special position. His guru is Brihaspati. Brihaspati is the guru of the demigods. He's the teacher of the demigods. So Uddhava is very, very learned in scripture. So you can imagine this personality. He's the personal advisor to Krishna. He's going to a village. So there's already a large distance in hierarchy. The village boys and girls, you know, they are simple, churning milk. Then you have Uddhava, who is this great advisor to Krishna. And the social etiquette, the residents of Vrindavan, they're actually offering respects to Uddhava as such. But something very wonderful happens. Uddhava gets blown away by the intensity of the love of the residents of Vrindavan for Krishna. And he becomes humbled by that. So I mentioned how he met Radharani. So there's a chapter in the 10th canto, Brahmara Gita, Song of the Bee. Uddhava looks like Krishna. So when the gopis see Uddhava, they think of Krishna. And Radharani, in her separation, she compares, you see, there's a bee coming. A bee comes, and Radharani, now what is the color of a bee? Black and yellow. Now who else is black and yellow? It's Krishna, right? He has his yellow garments. So when Radharani sees the bee, she automatically thinks of Krishna. Oh, this is a messenger of Krishna. And she starts talking deliriously in separation. And Uddhava's blown away by that. At the end of the chapter, Uddhava says, Asamahar ho, chirararenu, jisham aham syam, brindavane kimapi, gulmalatau shadinam. So sudusta jas vajanam arya patam chahidva bejur makunda padavim shutibir vimrigyam. He says how glorious the gopis are that they're able to give up the very strong family attachments and worship Makunda uninterruptedly. And he prays that he may become like a blade of grass or a herb or a creeper in Vrindavan so that he may take the dust of the feet of the gopis. You see? So then when Uddhava leaves Vrindavan, immediately the news goes out. The glories of Vrindavan now spread all over the world because the great Uddhava is now singing the glories of Vrindavan. So that's another reason. Three reasons to enlighten Uddhava about the Prema Shastra, the love that he does not have full appreciation for, to pacify the residents of Vrindavan, and to spread the glories of Vrindavan. Just like Krishna, he wants to spread the message through Arjuna. Why? Because Krishna lies. Arjuna won't lie. Therefore he tells Arjuna, you spread it. You say Nami Bhakta Panashati. You spread the message. In the same way, Krishna spreads the message of the glories of Vrindavan through Uddhava. And just as Arjuna was very fortunate, Bhaktosime Sakachete Rahasyame Tadutama, he received the most confidential knowledge because he was a dear friend. In the same way, Uddhava, before Krishna departed, he was very fortunate that he got to receive the teachings of Krishna, which is known as the Uddhava Gita, which you'll find in the 11th canto. See? So this is, you know, there's parallels between Uddhava and Arjuna. They're very dear to Krishna, therefore they are given the special knowledge, and they then spread that special knowledge, you see. And Krishna even tells Uddhava Natatami Priyatama. Natatami Priyatama? Atmayoni Nashankaraha. Nacha Sankarshino Nashir. Naivatmacha Yatabhavan. There is no one dear to me as you, Uddhava, not the goddess of fortune, not Brahma, not Lord Shiva, not even my own self. So he's given the special, very, Uddhava's very special. So if you think, Uddhava, Dwarkavasi, he's not on the highest platform. He's the most dear to Krishna. He gets to witness the delirium, the madness of Srimati Radharani, which only very, very confidential devotees can actually experience. So this whole chapter, it is called Remembrance of Krishna, and it includes mainly the pastimes within Vrindavan. The next chapter, chapter 3, is Lord's pastimes out of Vrindavan. So this is like, it reminds me of the 10th canto. The 10th canto, so many chapters are in Vrindavan, and then afterwards, Krishna goes out of Vrindavan, and then the pastimes of Krishna continue outside of Vrindavan. So if you condense that, then you have, in these two chapters, chapter 2 and chapter 3 of the 3rd canto, you'll find a synopsis of Krishna's pastimes in and out of Vrindavan. So, can anyone remember which pastimes does Uddhava touch upon? Remember, he's speaking to Vidura. Actually, after the conversation between Vidura and Uddhava, out of etiquette, Uddhava will then pass on Vidura to Maitreya. Yeah, Maryada Vyatikrama. It is offensive to dare to think that you can instruct someone in front of superiors. So Uddhava, out of humility, he advises Vidura, you go and speak to Maitreya. But at the moment, Uddhava is teaching Vidura. So which pastimes have been touched upon? Now, two of them are mentioned in text 33 and text 34, which I just read. Govardhan Lila, yes. Any other ones? What about this verse I read today? Verse 34 that's on the board. Which pastime is that referring to? Rasalila, yes. And the term, first word is Sharat, which means autumn. So it said, Bhagavan apita ratri, Sharat udpula malita, viksharantum manas chakri, yoga mayam upashritaha. Lord Krishna, remember he's a supreme enjoyer. So when the mood, his yoga maya potency creates the mood. So when the moon is shining, and then Utpula Malika, the Malika flowers are opening, creating a lovely scent. Then what happens? Viksha Mana, Viksha Rantu Manash Chakri. Krishna thinks, I want to enjoy. The whole mood is set and then he wants to enjoy. And therefore, taking shelter of his Yogamaya potency, he creates the whole Rasa Leela. So that's the pinnacle of Rasa. The Rasa Leela, it's got a long A. Rasa with a short A refers to our emotional connection with Krishna. Rasa, longi, refers to the dance where all the conjugal rasa is taking place. So there's another example, and this is the pinnacle. It's said by Srinath Chakravarti, who is the guru of Kavi Karnapur. Arojya Rajo Bhagavan Bhajeshataniyas Tadhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachid Upasana Brajabadu Vargena Yakalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumato Mahan Sri Titanya Mahaprabhar Mitamidam Tatra Dara Naparaha. Beautiful verse. Bhakti Rasavira Maharaj used to quote this a lot when he gave class at the manor. So Arajo Bhagavan Brajesha Tanayasta Dhamma Vrindavanam. The first line is stating that just as Lord Krishna is worshipable, his land Vrindavan is worshipable. So we shouldn't distinguish between Krishna and Vrindavan. To think Vrindavan is less than Krishna is offensive. It's a dhammaparad. So Arajya Bhagavan, I've said this before, Anyare Ridayamana Mora Mana Vrindavan Mani Vanika Korijani. Mahaprabhu in the Buddha Radharani says, others say their heart, for others their heart is their mind, but for me, Vrindavan is my mind. So when we become pure, then our hearts become situated eternally in Vrindavan. Acharya kohi jahantumi se Vrindavan. Or as Advaita Acharya said, wherever you are, Mahaprabhu, that is Vrindavan. Because the heart merges, so to speak, with Vrindavan. See? The next line, Ramya Kachara Pasanabara Jabadu Vargena Yakapita. It relates very much to today's verse that the highest form of worship is the worship of the gopis. The Brajabadu means the gopis of Vrindavan. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, Pramanam Amalam, the highest evidence is the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's also the statement, Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam, in the 12th canto, that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the pure Purana for the Vaishnavas. It is also the Praman, is Purana Amala, the pure Purana, and Pramanam Amala, two different terms, the ultimate Praman. And therefore that is, and then Prema Pramarta Mahan, our goal is actually pure love of God, which is why the gopis have a higher position than even the great learned Uddhava. So Uddhava's learning this lesson that actually we can say that the gopis command respect. The great Uddhava wants to bow down before the village girls, you see. So great personalities, they command respect. It's natural. The gopis command respect. Why? It is not out of social status, they're just village girls, but out of the power of their love for Krishna, they command that respect. So ultimately we should aspire to command respect. Anyone who's a leader in the Hare Krishna movement, they should aspire to command respect rather than demand it. Demand respect, people will reluctantly follow you. But ideally, one should have the character and the inspiration that one can command that respect. So what other pastimes are discussed? Anyone remember? This is the last verse of the chapter, so maybe we can have a look at the whole chapter, do a quick synopsis. Actually, let's do that. There's a few little themes that are running through this chapter. We begin with a description of how great personalities from childhood are naturally attracted to Krishna. Uddhava, from his birth, was naturally attracted to Krishna. Like Prahlad Maharaj was naturally attracted to Krishna. And Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, they were naturally attracted to Krishna, and they had the opportunity at childhood to engage in devotional service from a young age. So the chapter begins with some glorification of those devotees who are fortunate enough to have that natural attraction. As it says in the Bhagavad Gita, Purvabhyasena Hriyate Yavaso, Purvabhyasena Tenaiva, Hriyate Yavaso Pisa. That when we engage in devotional service, then in our next life, we are naturally attracted to carry on from where we left off. Now sometimes, yes, tell me. The microphone, where's the microphone? Yes, we have it there.
Uddhava was so absorbed in Krishna, playing with Krishna dolls, that even he forgot to eat.
Yes. So he forgot to eat.
He forgot to eat. Yeah.
So, just after explaining the good fortune of those Nitya Siddhas, there's a verse where the Yadu dynasty is described as being unfortunate, which is like a thoughtful thing. Why would they be unfortunate? Durbhago bata lokayam yadavo nitaramapi yesam vasanto navidur harimina ivo dupam. This universe with all its planets is most unfortunate, and even more unfortunate are the members of the Yadu dynasty, because they could not identify Lord Hari as the personality of Godhead any more than fish could identify the moon. This is puzzling. We sometimes hear how the Yadus are very fortunate. But there actually is a purport where Prabhupada explains that the reason why Krishna arranged to leave the planet in Prabhas was because the Yadus were not qualified to go back to the spiritual world. And if they left their bodies in Dwarka, they would go back, because that's a holy place. So he had to take them out of Dwarka and arrange that they would kill each other outside of Dwarka so that they didn't go back to the spiritual world. Now, it's like we sometimes say that Yashoda and Nanda were Drona and Dara. That itself is a contradiction, because Dronandara, their sadhana siddhas, whereas Yashoda and Nanda are nitya siddhas, they never fall down. How to understand that? And the idea is that when Yashoda and Nanda come, then Dronandara, they can enter into the body, so they can be there experiencing in the same body as Yashoda and Nanda. So in the same way, the Dwarkavasis, they can be considered nitya siddhas, but then there are sadhana siddhas who come through, and then they can take the bodies, they can enter into the bodies of those nitya siddhas and experience. So those personalities were the demigods. The demigods, they came down to facilitate Krishna's pastimes, and after Krishna's pastimes, they went back to their posts as demigods. So they were killed outside of Dwarka so they wouldn't go back to the spiritual world, and they would continue their duties as demigods. So it's a lovely analogy. When I was a child, I used to swim in the water, and you used to look up, and due to the refraction of light, any light like the sun, it looks like it's actually touching the surface of the water. So the idea here is that Krishna, he's actually far, far away. Or in this example, the moon. The moon is far, far away. But if you're underwater, if you're like a fish, you can just see the moon on the surface of the water, and you think the moon is very near. The moon is in the water. So the idea is Krishna's far away, and they didn't appreciate him. That's why they were taken out of Dwarka, and then they killed each other. So that, then we get on to some famous verses. This is a famous verse, and actually appears in Sanatan Shiksha. If you go to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya instructs Sanatan Goswami, he quotes this verse. It's quite a famous one. Yan marchali lau payi comes for yoga, maya balam darshayata grihitam, vismapanam svasya tasau bagardhe parampadam bhushana bhushanangam. Lord appeared in the mortal world by his internal potency, yoga maya. He came in his eternal form, which is just suitable for his pastimes. These pastimes were wonderful for everyone, even for those proud of their own opulence, including the Lord himself. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Including the Lord himself in his form as the Lord of Vaikuntha. Thus, his, Sri Krishna's, transcendental body is the ornament of all ornaments. And this last line is very significant. The Sanskrit phrase is bhushana bhushanangam. We understand that Krishna ornaments the ornaments. You see, it would be a mistake to say that an ornament will make Krishna look more beautiful, because ornaments get their beauty from Krishna. Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam srimad urjitam evava tathad eva vagachatam mama tejongsha sambhavam. It's because Krishna tells Arjuna, everything wonderful you see in this universe, everything, it all springs from but a spark of my splendor. So if you like diamonds, okay, that's Krishna. That's Krishna's attractiveness coming in the form of the diamond. The diamond gets its attraction from Krishna. It's not like Krishna becomes more beautiful by placing the diamond on Krishna. So he's the ornament of the ornament. The ornaments become more beautiful by being on the body of Krishna. And then Uddhava, because, of course, the very, very beginning part of this chapter, Uddhava is actually in trance. As soon as he hears the word Krishna, he's gone. He's gone into the eternal world, and he's feeling the separation of Krishna. Because just by natural, the pure devotees, it's impossible for them to not think of Krishna. So I'm on the platform. I have the Bhava Rog. You know what the Bhava Rog is? It's the material disease. It means I'm more attracted to things other than Krishna. So I have to have a program, a regime of sadhana to try and turn my consciousness towards Krishna. Krishna Bahir Mukha. I am Krishna Bahir Mukha. My tendency is to look at the material world rather than Krishna. But Uddhava, he can't but think of Krishna. So anything is going to remind him of Krishna. Everything. Prabhupada says we should arrange our lives in such a way that we cannot but think of Krishna. So if you have, you know, some people, devotees, they feel sad because, I have to go to work in the morning and I can't go to the temple. Actually, that's a good thing. That feeling, I cannot go to the temple, it means that devotee's feeling separation from Krishna and the devotees. So it's actually a nice thing. So it's nice to feel that, you know, what would I do without ISKCON, for example. I mean, I used to live in Edinburgh, and I don't know if so many good qualities, but there's one thing I didn't like, not being living near a temple. So my father, he's quite a gentleman, so he was obviously a little bit disturbed when I left Edinburgh, because I'd been living away for quite a while, and he missed me, and my mother missed me, but then I lived in Edinburgh for 3 years, and they were probably thinking to themselves, oh, this is nice, Govinda's going to live, they call me Govinda, Govinda's going to live in Edinburgh, and we're going to see the grandchildren every day, etc. But I couldn't live in Edinburgh for long, because I just felt, oh, I have to come closer to back to Antamanna, and therefore I can come to the morning program, etc. So that's, I'm not blowing my own trumpet, but at least I had that one qualification that I did feel I wanted to be in a community, because I just think it's really difficult not to have devotee association on a regular basis. So, but we should live our lives, as Prabhupada said in One Purport, in such a way that we cannot but feel that. So let's run through some of the other pastimes. The killing of Kaliya, that's mentioned in this chapter. There's the killing of Shishupal. There's the killing of the warriors at Kurukshetra. And the point that's been made is they all get liberated. So what quality of Krishna does this represent? Compassion? Mercy? Yeah, mercy. And I was talking at this chapter's got some famous verses. There's a famous verse, Aho bhakiyam sanakala kutam jigangshaya paya adapya sadvi lebi gatim dat truchitam tatonyam kamvadvalayam sharanam brajema. The beautiful, the mercy of Krishna is personified, epitomized by his killing of Putana and giving her the position of nurse in the spiritual world. Datri means nurse. Datri uchitam means she got the position of nurse. Therefore, kamva dolayam sharanam brajema. Who is there more merciful that I can take shelter of? So this killing of Putana, it represents the mercy of Krishna. That if someone should come to poison and then to give that person the position of nurse. Actually, Jiva Goswami in the Sundarbhas, he explains the position of nurse that Putana got is not as high as the position that Yashoda has. See, being the nurse is Vatsalya Ras. So Putana gets Vatsalya Ras, but doesn't get the same degree of Vatsalya Ras that Yashoda Mai gets, because Putana has the wrong intention. But because Krishna is so merciful, he accepts the good in anything. So she's coming to feed Krishna, so he takes that side of things. Oh, she's feeding me. Doesn't ignore the fact that it's poison. Actually, he sucks the poison out and sucks out the life air of Putana as well. So there's the pastime of Putana. And Shishupal, another one, envies of Krishna, he gets liberated. The warriors at Kurukshetra, they're envious of Krishna. They get liberated. Why? Because they get to see Krishna on the battlefield. So the idea is that if you see Krishna at the time of death, then you get liberation. So the warriors, they got liberated on the battle of Kurukshetra. So this concludes the chapter, which is called Remembrance of Krishna. We have the cowherd boys are also mentioned. Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, I believe, is mentioned. So the various rasas in Braj are all kind of touched upon by Uddhava. And if we're great, fortunate personalities, then just by hearing a little bit about Krishna, then we go into ecstasy. So this, a few verses describing Vrindavan, if one has a soft heart, then those pastimes will affect one. And it's therefore said, Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Mahuraho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavukaha. We should relish the Bhagavatam over and over again. Bhuvi Bhavukaha. Bhavukaha means those who have a soft heart, and therefore they can actually experience rasa practically. It's not just a theoretical thing. Until we reach that point, we should content ourselves with theoretical understanding of rasa. And which famous book of Prabhupada's has all the description of rasa in it? Categorized? Nectar of Devotion, which is the summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And it's one of the most important books that Srila Prabhupada translated. He said that we should read that one. And it's one of the most under-read books, I think. We will generally read all the new books that come out, which is nice. But many of us don't read The Nectar of Devotion, which is one of the key books of Srila Prabhupada, because it describes the science of rasa in great detail. So thank you all for your time. Hare Krishna. And I have less than 5 minutes for comments and questions. So thank you for your patience.
Hare Krishna, bro.
Hare Krishna.
Maybe I missed something. I was in terms of yadus taken from the Dwaraka to not to go back home, back to Dwaraka, but to not go back home, back to Godka. Is interesting point. Like one thing is like that means there's a mercy factor will not make them to go back home, back to Godhead. This is one. Another one, they saw Krishna in Prabhas.
Yes.
They didn't go again. And then what would make them eligible to go? That means that we are left on our own strength. So we have to qualify ourselves to go. So it means it's almost like, you know, avaroha pantas, you know, like in that sense, very interesting arrangement Krishna made.
Krishna, of course, when we say that they didn't go back to the eternal abode, because the Nitya Siddhas are also present, that aspect of the Dwarkavasis did go back. It's said in some purports the Dwarkavasis are Nitya Siddhas, eternal liberated souls, right? So both are there. But yeah, I mean, we're all on a path, so If one has material desires and one is a demigod and one gets the opportunity to take part in Krishna's pastime, then one makes advancement, and you can't expect to go straight back. If you still have material desires, you have to qualify yourself, as you mentioned. There has to be some endeavour on our side. We have to try, and we have to have the mood that Lord Brahma has. Tat tenu kampam susimikshamano punjana ivak makritam vipakam fridvad vakupapubir vidadan namaste. Jiveta yo mukti pare sadaya bak, that we just offer our obeisances, do our service, be humble, and we await that mercy where Krishna will just mercifully take us back to Godhead.
Same then with the warriors in Kurukshetra.
Yes.
They kind of didn't go, or they resumed their position. So
they went. Yes. There's actually one verse. I'm going to try and find this verse. Keep speaking while I try and find this verse, because I like it. It's very nice.
Interesting, like, I mean, out of 560 million of yadus killed in the Prabhas, and they didn't, and those 640 million in Kurukshetra, they went. It's interesting. What's position?
Here's a bit of transcendental alliteration. Partastra putach padam apurasya, lots of P's, which means they were purified. They were purified by the onslaught of Arjuna's arrows, and while seeing the lotus-like face of Krishna, so pleasing to the eyes, they achieved the abode of the Lord. This is the Krishna Mukharavindam. They saw the lotus, Mukharavinda, the lotus feet of Krishna, lotus face of Krishna, they were seen on the battle of Kurukshetra. And it says, Netrai Pibanta, drinking through the eyes. There's a phrase, Netrotsava. Krishna's a festival for the eyes. You'll find this phrase throughout the Bhagavatam, various Sanskrit verses. Krishna's described as a festival for the eyes. Once you see him, that's it. You're just caught, you're captured, and you can't but look at him. So the gopis, they curse Lord Brahma. You created eyelids, so that for that split second we can't see Krishna. They curse him. They make jada udikshatam pakshmakridrisham. You're foolish. The creator of eyelids is foolish because it stops us seeing Krishna. Anyone else got any comments or questions?
You know, Prabhupada said in one of his lectures about the yadus, how they disappeared, they're fighting in Prabhas.
Mm-hmm.
So what to say about us, like people are trying to make empires and in the material world.
Yes.
So what to say about people like that? What chance do they have? Yadus were so powerful that if Krishna allowed them to stay, they would have destroyed the earth, isn't it?
Yes.
So Krishna arranged them to disappear. So Prabhupada gives examples of what to say about mortals like us who are trying to lord it over, trying to be a permanent settlement.
Yes, thank you. And you've just touched upon another, let's see, a little enigma. We mentioned how the Yadus are the most unfortunate. Of course, Krishna's their relative. They're so fortunate. It said that to relieve the burden of the earth, Krishna took away the Yadu dynasty. That's another enigma. Why would the Yadus, their devotees, why would they be a burden on the earth? But they're a little bit of pride. They're so powerful. You add a little pride to a powerful person, then you have a problem. So we have Putana and we have Putin. Putin's very powerful, but he's a little bit proud of the Russian Empire. Therefore, he does what I think are nonsense things. But anyway, but actually, to give another side of things, if Russia invade and they take over, then I'm going to be in trouble now. This is online. Anyway, on the other side of the coin, Prabhupada explains that the burden of the Yadus was like, it's not a bad burden, it's like a businessman has the burden of looking after money. It's a pleasant burden. It's like you like it. So in a sense, if you look at it from the other side, the Yadus are, it's a glorious burden. It's not a bad burden. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prayojana Prabhu, if we can pass the mic.
There's another aspect to atheists and those who want liberation of any sort. But somehow they're all attracted by Krishna, either directly or indirectly. It's like an atheist, he says, there is no God, and yet he said the word God.
Mm-hmm.
So that's their immediate contact in their to Krishna. So everybody's talking about Krishna, everybody's talking about God, even the atheists. You know, so it's an irony, but believe it. But it's an incredible thing. But there's that verse: those who are envious and mischievous do not attain me unless there's many, many lifetimes. Can you comment on that? That those who cause harm to others deliberately and get joy out of it, they are denied for many, many or millions of lifetimes even a chance,
mm-hmm,
of coming in contact with Krishna. You know, like you could say Putin, he's envious of Krishna, you could say that. And they lie and cheat. They're like a sort of poison, but they're only poisoning themselves. I just wonder, this is a strange connection. So we're all in this material world, animals, humans, and parts and parcels, to be given a chance again. You know, it's like Krishna's, he's so happy when he gets chance to destroy and then recreate, to give another chance to those who come back to the material world. It's such a deep thing. But Krishna wants us all back, demons and, you know,
yes,
everyone. And really, it's a irony. Yeah, I see there, because, you know, I don't really know anything about Krishna like you're speaking about. But at the same time, I'm rather attracted to hear you speak about it. You know, it is beyond me. At the same time, I'm fascinated to hear this talk about Krishna, even though I have no real taste. Yeah, it's a weird thing.
Yeah, in the material world, it's Krishna's purpose for the material world is a correction center to bring us back to Him. And at the same time, He's not interfering with our desires, so if people have dark desires, they can fulfill them in the material world. And then there are those jivas who have enacted their dark desires before, who are now receiving their karma from other people who are enacting their dark desires on them. So we have this whole cycle of karma going on, and it's allowing the freedom to explore evil. But ultimately, Krishna's devotees are coming into this universe, and then the Bhakti Lata Bija is being spread, and that's the real purpose of the universe. So when it's said in the 10th canto, chapter 1, text number 4, Navrita tarshaya rupa giya madad bhavaushadach chotra manobiramat kautama sloka gunana vada pumambira jeta bina pashuknat. That if one is a pashukna, killer of the soul, then one will not have any attraction for hearing the pastimes of Krishna. But if one is navrita tarsha, one has given up the thirst for material life and is becoming renounced, then one will find the pastimes of Krishna to be very, very pleasing. And so it's all connected that Krishna's, if we mistreat Krishna's parts and parcels, then we do not understand the spiritual science and we don't have any attraction for it. And likewise, if we, within the society of devotees, if we mistreat devotees, it's Krishna's heart, sadavoridayam mayam, that's the heart of Krishna we're hurting when we mistreat the devotees. And therefore, that is another reason why devotees may lose their attraction for the spiritual science. I think it's time for breakfast. Thank you all for your patience. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanandi.